In many countries, including our own, there's a notion of dual citizenship. What does that mean? It means a person, a citizen, can have their citizenship in two countries at the same time, sharing the rights and responsibilities of the citizens of each country. If you're a Christian, you automatically possess dual citizenship, whether your particular country does or does not. Because you see, the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 declares, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great Christian writer from a generation ago, A.W. Tozer, in his book, That Incredible Christian, wrote, the Christian is a citizen of heaven, and to that sacred citizenship, he acknowledges his first allegiance. Yet he may love his earthly country with that intensity of devotion that caused John Knox to pray, oh God, give me Scotland or I die. He cheerfully expects, before long, to enter that bright world above. But he is in no hurry to leave this world and is quite willing to await the summons of his heavenly Father. And he's unable to understand why the critical unbeliever should condemn him for this. It all seems so natural and right in the circumstances that he sees nothing inconsistent about it. End quote. Folks, not only does the Bible declare that we are citizens of a heavenly country, as well as an earthly country, but it also declares our responsibility as heavenly citizens living in an earthly country. And basically, there are four primary responsibility to have that we as heavenly citizens have toward our earthly government. Obey, pay, pray, and sway. Now, we're only going to look at the first two this week, basically because I'm so enamored with the rhyming that I want to continue it next week. We're going to look at obey and pay this morning. You know, we hear a lot about how to be a good citizen, how to interact with our government, interact with our country. And a lot of it's good and right and true. But we always need to test whatever we hear against the authority of the Word of God. You see, folks, we need to be people who live by the book rather than live by social constraints or cultural pressures. We need to be people of the book. And so let's notice this morning, as citizens who live by the book, first of all, we must obey. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. In verses 13 through 17, we see the Apostle Peter giving that very exhortation to the believers of his day, and by virtue of it being in the Scripture, to believers down through the centuries to our day. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. The passage begins, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." That word could also be translated every human creation. Yes, government way back following the flood was created by God, but in the ensuing centuries, we have established certain means of being ruled over. And the Apostle Peter says, no matter what government you live under, you should be subject to it. Now, there are three reasons he gives in this passage why we are to obey. Number one, because that's what Jesus wants. Verse 13 says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." You see, Jesus is the one who spoke the words of Mark chapter 12, verse 17, when he said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Jesus wants his people to be subject to human institutions. In fact, verse 14 tells us the reason he established human government was to produce a just and orderly society. In verse 14, he says, "Be subject to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." Government's primary responsibility, according to the Bible, is to punish wrongdoers and to praise do-gooders. And when the government gets that backwards, then we got a problem. They're running outside of their lane, as we like to say nowadays, as it relates to the Word of God. So we obey because that is what Jesus wants. Secondly, in verse 15, we obey because that is what God's will is. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." You see, back in the days of the New Testament, Peter's time especially, Christians were being accused, were being maligned in three different ways. First of all, people accused Christians of being cannibals. Oh, yeah. "Take, eat. This is my body." And the unbelievers, having no understanding of what communion, the Lord's table, meant, just took those words at face value and accused the Christians of being cannibals. Secondly, they accused the Christians, believe it or not, of atheism. Because you see, Christians believed in only one God, whereas the culture of that day believed in a multiplicity of gods, of both the Roman and the Greek pantheon. But here come these Christians, the only God they believe in is one. A bunch of atheists. And finally, Christians were accused of treason because they refused to pinch an incense before the altar of Caesar and declare, "Caesar is Lord." If they did anything, they would pinch that incense and say, Jesus is Lord. And because of that, they were being accused of being traitors. But notice what this passage says. When Christians are, and folks, we're much maligned in many other ways today. And so to keep the people of his day, to keep the people of our day from giving ammunition to their accusations, Peter says, be subject to every institution of man. Obey whenever you can the governmental authorities. The third reason he gives in this passage, remember, number one, that's what Jesus wants. Number two, that's what God's will is. And finally, number three, because that's what God's servants do. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up of evil, but living as servants of God. Now, I think we understand and appreciate here in our country the first part of that verse. Live as people who are free. We have incredible freedoms in our nation. And for that, we all say, God bless America. Amen? But we are never free to do what we want to do. You see, people carry that idea of freedom to an improper excess. We are not free to do what we want to do. We are free to do what God wants us to do. We are free to serve Him. And then notice in verse 17, Peter wraps up this teaching about relationship to the governed when he says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Why isn't it turned around? Why doesn't it say, honor the Lord or love the Lord and fear the emperor? Well, I think Peter remembers what Jesus himself said when he was on this earth in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus is speaking and he said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God. Now, the question we need to address is, to what extent do we obey the government? How far does this go? Well, it's always good to remember that the man, Peter, who's writing to us in this book, also spoke the words of Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So obviously there is a limit to our obedience to the government, the powers that be, as it were. What is it? Well, let's just dive into the context of what Peter and the apostles said in Acts 5:29. Look at the two verses preceding it, Acts 5:27 and 28. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. When rulers forbid us to do what God has commanded us to do, we disobey and suffer the consequences. When the governmental authorities come to us and tell us that we cannot worship the Lord freely and openly as we're doing now, we must obey God rather than man. But we've got to be ready to suffer the consequences. And that's exactly what happened to Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. When they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And I really wish I had included the very next verse, verse 42, on this slide. Because that verse says, and so they went about teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. And so when government tells us and forbids us from doing what God has commanded us to do, we disobey and suffer what consequences may come. But there's a second limit to our obedience. And that is, it's just kind of the flip side of this. When government commands us to do something God has forbidden, we disobey. We get that from the book of Daniel chapter 3. My favorite characters in the Bible, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Some of you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're ungodly Babylonian names that were given to them. I would much prefer to call them their godly Jewish names, because every one of those names, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, have the name of God, Jehovah or Elohim, in their name. Well, Pastor Larry, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a lot easier to remember. Really? It's just what you got used to. No more difficult to memorize or remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Well, these three Hebrew youths were commanded by King Nebuchadnezzar, as well as everyone else, when the music played, to bow down before his golden image that he set up. Well, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused. They remained standing, stuck out like a sore thumb. They were accused by other people. Those Jews you've set up over the province of Babylon, they don't bow down and worship the gods you've set up. Nebuchadnezzar called them in and said, fellas, are you refusing to obey my command? I'm going to give you one more chance. Now that's the Larry Green revised version. I'm going to give you one more chance. And when the music starts playing, bow down. But if you don't, you're toast, literally. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah replied to Nebuchadnezzar, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. You see, Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to do that which violated the scripture, and they refused to do it and were willing to suffer the consequences. Now, most of us know the story. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, had them bound hand and foot, thrown into the midst of the fiery furnace. He heated it up 7 times hotter than it normally was heated, and the men that threw them in died because it was so hot. But Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were walking around in the flames. And the king said, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the fire?" And those around him said, "Yeah, you're right, king. I see 4 men. And the fourth is like the Son of God." Then the king called them to come out. Now, I got to tell you, this is where my smart aleck tendency would have taken over. Now, the king called them their ungodly Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. I'd have said, king, come in and get us. And I probably would have been scorched right then. So to be a citizen that lives by the book, we must obey. Unless the government tells us to do what God has said not to do, and unless the government tells us we can't do what God has told us to do, we must obey God rather than man. Not only to be a citizen by the book, we must obey, but to be a citizen by the book, we must pay. Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7 declare this for us. "For because of this," that "because of this" are the first 5 verses of that chapter, which, interestingly, give us essentially the same truth we've just been telling you. Romans 13, 1 through 5, instruct the Christians to obey the authorities of man. That's the "because of this." "Because of this, you also pay taxes." Don't you just love it? God says, pay your taxes. Now, we live in a country that gives us exemptions and things like that from taxes. And brothers and sisters, I take every one that my accountant can find, okay? Not going to pay any more than I have to, but I will pay what I have to. Why? Because God says it. "For the authorities are ministers of God, attending," interesting, the King James Version says, "attending continually to this very thing." What's that? Collecting taxes. You know, the old saying, there are only 2 things certain in life, death and... But death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. Just so you know. "Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Notice 2 things. Number one, pay the revenue that the government requires you to pay. You see, friends, Jesus not only said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but Jesus showed this truth. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, people came up to Peter and said, how come your master doesn't pay the temple tax? So Peter said, well, he does. And then he went up to Jesus and said, by the way, Jesus, do you pay the temple tax? Jesus replied, however, not to give offense to them, go to the sea, cast a hook, take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. I've always wondered where that fish got that shekel. And then it dawned on me, from the bank, of course. Oh boy. Wow. Come on, people. I don't know where to go from that response. I'm just... What if the government's using the revenue we send them for immoral purposes? Does that give us a right to not pay revenue? Well, think about it. Who was the emperor when the Apostle Paul wrote these words? Nero. I don't think Nero's use of the revenue came in were all the time for good or godly purposes. But then it also says in verse 7, pay respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. You know, friends, we live in a time where respect for our public officials, from the president right on down to city council people, is at an all-time low. Well, I didn't vote for him. That doesn't say pay respect to the ones you voted for. Just says pay respect to whom respect is owed. Well, they're doing things I don't believe in. They don't deserve our respect. Again, who was the emperor at this time? Nero. He was not worthy of respect. But Paul says, pay revenue and pay respect. Why? Folks, we've seen this morning, our Christian witness is tightly woven to our relationship to higher authorities. We can't get away from it. We cannot escape it. I remember when one of our police officers came up to me and I was preaching along these lines a number of months ago, and he said, you know, you'll never believe how many people that I pull over on 8th Avenue for speeding that say, well, the reason I'm speeding is because the speed limit's too low. You guys need to raise the speed limit and it'll be all right. Sorry, not my call. No, we don't make the laws ourselves, but we obey. We obey whenever we can. We respect whomever we can. And we pay up whatever we should. That's the believers who live by the book, responsibility to the government. Obey God always. Obey government usually. And friend, your obedience to God begins by obeying the gospel. The word obey literally means to listen under. God has spoken, and we must listen under his authority. And what has he said? What does he say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But friends, what God's justice demands, the death penalty, his love provides. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where your obedience starts, dear friend, by obeying what God has declared in the gospel. Have you done that? If you haven't, I'll be in the prayer room after the service. After we sing, you can come back there. We'll pray. I'll be glad to show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life, how you can know that you're right with God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us not only how to live in this world, but it tells us how we can live forever in heaven. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that if there is one here this morning who's never trusted Christ as his or her Savior, that they would acknowledge their sin to you. They would agree with you about their sin and agree with you about the Savior, that Jesus died on the cross to pay that penalty for sin and rose again so they could have eternal life. And Lord, help every one of us as your children to obey as far as we can what your word tells us about our relationship with the government, so that we can live lives that are pleasing to you, honoring to you, and glorifying to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.